Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are the, what do you call it? The eve, or actually, let's just put it this way. Today is the penultimate day for you to choose. You have to make a decision if you have not made your decision on voting by now. So today is the ultimate decision day, or the penultimate, I'm sorry. Tomorrow being the ultimate. Penultimate being the one before the last. So you have to decide or you will not be voting. And as far as I see it, I do not believe that there are a lot of people at this point still deciding. I know that there's plenty of news and marketing that we can go through, but what I want to do is I actually want to sit down, and this goes actually to point out to a few of the people that I've been working with, both locally in Washington State and other states. I kind of lay out a strategy and or a plan of what you can do and what we can do to actually make a difference in our public servants and in the direction of public service. That means that we have to start getting involved in the party. And as a matter of fact, I recommend that you get involved in two parties or three parties if you have the bandwidth. I know everybody is busy, but we cannot afford not to be involved. And so we'll get into that. But as I do the typical obligatories, you know this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that is not entertaining. This show is academic-based, and we try to give you the academic evidence of what's going on, as well as the solutions based on the analysis and the academic evidence as well. Anyway, one of the things we want to thank you is the bump up we have seen in the numbers of people listening and getting more involved, and we do appreciate it. We hope to start, because I remember, I think it was back in September, I said we wanted to start doing some live shows and actually have people call in and so forth. But unfortunately, I've just been way too busy. And as a matter of fact, I'll be doing a speaking engagement. Dates in the very near future. I won't necessarily. As a matter of fact, when you hear reruns, if this show is being, if you're hearing something that you haven't heard before, then there's a good chance that I may be actually traveling or doing something. Which is a good thing, because that means that the message is getting out to other people and it is growing. And so the more I travel, the more reruns you hear, then, just think of it as, it's good stuff. And hopefully what you'll find in the reruns are, good stimulating conversations, because I don't think we have, let's just say, boring and dull. I mean, at least I'd like to think that I try to challenge everybody's paradigm on what needs to be done and what we need to be doing. So anyway, let me just kind of dive forward with a little bit more obligatories other than thanking you out. And the other thing I've always asked for the past month and a half, or actually 2 months, since I've published these articles, if you've not read these articles, I would ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org on our constitutional articles page. We have all of the constitutional articles. The latest one is usually up on the Constitutional Perspective page, and it usually sits there for about a week or two until I kind of get everything kind of cleaned up and into an Adobe format, and we'll post it up on the constitutional articles page as well. So I believe everything is up there. We do have another article that we're going to be delivering or providing you that is going to dive into your First Amendment petition rights, and it's also going to dive into common law grand juries. and what common law grand juries can do and how important they are in moving and changing. It's not a lot of people look at grand juries as only a mechanism for creating a verdict. Somebody's committed a crime. And that's not the only thing that you can use a grand jury for. You can use it to clarify the law and whether the law is being broken and so forth. And so that's why we want to make sure that you understand that we have all the tools. The sand doesn't get into the sandbags by themselves. That means that if you need a 3-foot barrier around your house, you've got a lot of sandbags to fill. We have work to do. It's not going to be, the Lord's not going to just do it for us. I can't imagine that ever being the case. And anybody that believes that's been the case, I defy them I beg them to actually show me the academic evidence, whether that be scriptures or what have you. It's always been a symbiotic relationship. The Lord does, the framers clearly stated as they were developing the Constitution, as they were evolving from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution, they were pointing to the divine hand of providence blessing them. I mean, the entire Revolutionary War, as far as Washington was concerned, it was almost always being blessed by the divine hand of providence. Anyway, what we want to do is we kind of want to jump into the parties and what we're doing regarding the election and so forth. And as far as I'm concerned, today and tomorrow, it ends, the rhino season ends tomorrow. Our ability to take out rhinos and get rid of them, because if you look at all the politicians in America, the ones that we really have a problem with, the ones that are hurting us and the ones that are doing the most damage, because we know the communists are in the Democratic Party. The problem is that when you've got somebody that's a Republican that is supporting the communist movement, that's a rhino. And as far as I'm concerned, when you have these guys, and I was talking to somebody just recently about some of the Idaho state legislators. There's a lot of them over there that puff up their chest and, pound on their breastplates and say, I'm a champion of the Constitution. There's nobody that has a better Second Amendment stance than I am. And near as I can tell, there's a lot more to the Constitution than just the Second Amendment. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot more to what a public servant should be doing when it comes to their responsibilities of office. The first thing that they have to do is they have to take an oath. And what is the first thing in that oath that they have to pledge, or basically they affirm or they commit their oath? They create a legal commitment. When you take an oath for office, that is a legal commitment. Just like when you join the military and you raise your arm to the square and you take an oath to serve the Constitution, that's actually legally written down in your service record book that you have taken your oath. And so why is that important? Why was it that the framers looked at that? Why is this a legal transaction? Because you are now being held responsible to doing just that, supporting the Constitution. So there are two different ways that a person cannot support the Constitution. There are crimes or sins of omission, and there are sins and crimes of commission. In other words, you actually go and do something that violates it, but you're obligated to support and defend it. Not just sit there and say, okay, I'm attending all my meetings, but I'm not going to do anything to rock the boat. No, I need, to make sure I, get all my days and punch my card so I can build my resume to going up the ladder in politics and someday be king. I mean, it seems like that's what American politics has been boiled down to. But the fact of the matter is, if there is somebody doing something, and here's the problem, if you don't know what somebody's doing is a violation of the Constitution, then you are a part of the problem as a public service, as a public servant. And so for you to fulfill your public service obligation, then you have to get engaged, you have to get educated, you have to get informed. I've had plenty of public servants that say, well, I really don't understand the Constitution like you do. Well, what is that your excuse? Or is that some, you know, little clause that you're throwing out there that you can't send me to jail because I just don't know? As far as I'm concerned, there's an old adage, ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. So when you get pulled over by a policeman, how well does that work? I didn't know what the speed limit was. I didn't know how fast I was going. That doesn't cut it. And it shouldn't cut it with our politicians. So we need to go rhino hunting. And what we need to do is, and I ask that if you're involved, if not get involved, but if you're involved, you need to demand or start asking. Let's, in the next meeting, we need to vet. We need to actually go through those people who won office that, you know, we have a responsibility for, from down from your county commissioners and or your city council, everybody that's a part of your county, anybody that is an elected official that takes their, puts their arm to the square, identify who is representing you and who is not. It doesn't matter which party they are. The fact of the matter is they have an obligation, not necessarily to, you know, serve the party, because I don't see anywhere in that oath that they're supposed to serve the party. They're supposed to serve the Constitution, and that's the best service that you could get from a public servant. With that, we're going to be right back with more of this really important stuff, and we'll get into some news towards the end. But please stay tuned. I've got more for you. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so this board meeting I've been mentioning, this is a party central committee at the county level meeting that needs to be had. If I was running the county, if I was the county chair, the central committee chair, what I would do is I would sit down and have a list of every elected official in the last election, and it doesn't matter what party they're affiliated to, what we would do is we would sit down and say, does this person represent us? Do we know this person? We need to find out. And then at the county level, I would make sure that we have a committee that actually keeps track and goes and gets the voting record of each of the individuals that are elected, whether they be state legislator, whether they be our congressperson, you know, our representative. Sometimes a county would have multiple, depending on how many, you know, people you have, right? If your county is a major city, then you may have several within your county that you vote for. And in that particular case, you identify everybody that is on your ballot. Doesn't matter, again, who won the election. You look at everybody that won and you determine whether they are going to actually meet or represent you the way they should be. And when I say represent you, I don't mean getting you jobs, bringing in some type of pork barrel budget or anything like that. Our politicians should have zero influence on our economy. We should have a free market, which was what we were given via the Constitution, instead of this, what we call a, a mercantile system. I was going to say market system, but that's not right. Our economy is really based on a mercantile economy, because just like in the old days before America created this constitutional republic, the government determined what you were going to do, whether you could do this or whether you could do that. And we're almost in the exact same position. However, it is more of a group of oligarchies, whether that be ALEC or a board of chambers, or there's different groups that like to play in deciding who can play, how they play, and what you have to do, and so forth. And to me, as far as I'm concerned, that is not a free market system. Now, there is merit for having some kind of standards, but when we start creating barriers to entry, when all of a sudden, whatever it is you do for a living, when all of a sudden the your state legislators create these, oh, well, you have to have certifications. Okay, well, that's good. But before they start making certifications for anybody, as far as I'm concerned, they should have a certification standard for themselves first. I mean, it's hypocrisy when somebody starts championing, oh, well, we've got to have these standards for plumbing or whatever it is. You got to earn a shingles, a certificate, or you got to have a degree. No, government should not be dictating that. Anyway, so what you do is you sit down, because I could easily go down in all these different rat holes. What you want to do is you want to have this meeting. Does this person represent you? You have a committee that actually traces down every single one of these people. Now, when you look at the things that a party should be doing, you would think that the county central committee is a very large apparatus. And I know down in Spokane, they have a pretty large party system. However, at the county level, however, they don't do anything like this. They don't keep track of who's really representing them. It's almost like they're doing the status quo. And as far as I'm concerned, the status quo is the problem. We have to start identifying where our weaknesses are in our representation. And the next thing you have to do is you have to have another committee that is working on recruiting and building a bench. Now, when we say recruiting and building a bench, I'm talking about recruiting and building a bench for every type of public office that you have in your county. If there are people that want to do legislation, what you want to do is you want to start building a bench so that these people understand their constitutional responsibilities, they understand the responsibilities of the job, and so forth. And you help these people in preparing themselves to actually run against your rhino that is sitting, who has been sitting a long time in your county commissioner's seat. It's time to start retiring all of these bad politicians. That's the whole, people, we don't need term limits. What we need is a very active, let's just call it a party system. And I'm not a fan of the parties. I actually look at parties as a faction. However, if the party is focused on compliance to the Constitution and, you know, functioning within the boundaries of the Constitution, whether that be state constitution or whether that be the U.S. Constitution, of course, they have to be compliant to both of them, then there you have your standards. And, oh, by the way, one of the things you need to make sure that everybody understands is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is key. If they violate their oath of office, you need to be calling them out immediately. You need to, if it's a Republican, if you've got a Republican that is violating their oath of office, I'll give you a great example. We, you know, and the one that really sticks out, even though he's just recently passed away, past few years, is McCain. I mean, McCain was an embarrassment. And I know Arizona, they actually tried to have him censored, and the party tried to, you know, basically take away the Republican label from him and the national party. See, we can't change the national party, or we can't pull ourselves out of the uniparty. When I say uniparty, people don't even really understand. They know it's a single party. But the Democrats and the Republicans have created way, way, way up, well outside of your reach, there is a uniparty. There are power brokers that are controlling our political system. The only way we're going to be able to actually rip the Republican Party out of this uniparty grasp is by taking it back. We have to take it back at the grassroots level, and we can start driving this. I know that this last year there was a convention, and Donald Trump basically, you know, it was very limited as far as the convention goes. They didn't have a national convention per se, because they didn't sit down and hammer out the platform, bylaws, and all of those things. And I will tell you that at this point in time, the Republican Party, national party platform is decent, but it's got a lot of work. And actually, it needs to be cut down to a very limited focus. I actually have a party platform of how a party should have a platform. At the state level, there should be two platforms. There should be a platform for the national level and a platform for the state. And the national level platform is, and the reason this is important, you'll understand as soon as I say this, the national level platform should literally state that the federal government is enumerated in these powers. In other words, it only has and possesses constitutional power to do these things and these things alone. Then, when you go up to the big convention and they say, well, what's your submission? When we have 4, 5, 6 states start submitting a very clean platform that says the federal government is limited to these powers, then all of a sudden the party stops focusing on the issues of, you know, education and healthcare and how we have to. No, now you're actually stating with a very finite position that the federal government can only do these things. It only has the constitutional authority to do these things and these things alone. So anything else that they're doing, they have no business doing it. When we get 4 or 5 states starting to send this, and then other states are going to look at that and go, well, wow, that's actually pretty accurate, and why aren't we doing it that way? Instead of, because people get you to get into the ring and go wrestle pigs. Now, pigs love to be, you know, they love the contact, they love the sport. I mean, pigs don't mind, you know, playing catch me if you can. And so if you go out and wrestle in the mud with a pig, all you're going to do is you're going to get dirty, you're going to get tired, and the pig is going to love it because they've actually had some good contact. Now, if the outcome is that you're wrestling them to kill them, that's a little bit different. But with the party, nobody gets killed. And in the party process, wrestling with pigs, it's all about wasting your time and, you know, making you tired so that you give up and you stop wrestling pigs. It's time we stop wrestling pigs, period, and actually let the pigs go and we focus on the Constitution. So recruiting and building a bench committee is a committee that needs to be formed in every county so that the party now has people that are looking and actually reporting on the current people's voting, their voting positions, and their overall positions of what they're supporting, what they're not supporting. And then secondly, we need to be looking at who would be a good replacement for this person. In doing this, the next thing that the chair does is they send a letter to everybody, regardless of party, congratulating them on winning their election. However, this is where you send the message, whether you think that they are going to align. We don't see you aligning with what we believe you need to be doing, and that is supporting the Constitution. And if you don't, just want to let you know, we've got a committee over here and so-and-so's the chair, and we're going to be working on identifying a replacement, and we're also going to be basically frying you every time you cross that line and making sure that everybody knows that you're violating your oath of office, because we're planning on replacing you. You got to start sending messages that knock people on their butts so that they understand, hey, I am actually going to be held accountable here, and this isn't good. This is not good for the Uniparty. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so back to this letter that the chair needs to send out to everybody. But before we do, let me just say this. If you've got a business, if you're self-employed, if you actually do email marketing, then you may be actually using somebody like MailChimp or Constant Contact. I want you to know I'm very close to a conservative organization here, and MailChimp, right at the beginning of October, right when, you know, the most critical stuff starts coming out regarding the election, MailChimp dropped services for this conservative organization. Now, that's kind of odd, unless you start looking at, oh, well, okay, if you want to impact the voice of conservatives, what you do is you start reducing their service, their access. I mean, this is what Facebook has been doing. Anybody that has looked at and watched the amount of contacts, notifications, messages, and so forth, I mean, there's people that you're directly dealing with on a regular basis. Okay, you get that. But as far, I used to get 100 notifications a day with Facebook. And I'm on almost every party or state party, local party. that type of stuff. There's like 500 conservative pages out there that are all about politics, because that's my only focus. I don't put family information. There's nothing personal regarding me on Facebook. And as far as I am concerned, when I'm only getting less than 10 a day in the past month, something's going on. As a matter of fact, that all started months ago when Facebook started playing with its algorithms and started rolling out its new politically correct facade, or its new front that you have to, you know, bow out of to just, you know, have a normalcy, but you're still not getting all of the things in what they call the news feed and so forth. They are stifling. And everybody sees this in the news now. This is a known thing. So anyway, if you have a business and you want to have and support a conservative company that is going to give you those services, then I would recommend you actually reach out to AdLocal and just sign up. Tell them, hey, GR sent me, and I listened to Reclaiming the Republic. I'd like to take advantage of, you know, the special deal for email marketing. Boom, and jump in. It may take you some effort. It may take you some time to get your migration and everything working over there. But now you're going to be supporting a company that is not working to undermine our public, our constitution, our way of life, our liberties. Okay, this is what we need to do. I mean, this is exactly what the progressives do. If you have progressive insurance, then you are actually supporting somebody that throws a lot of money into the democratic and the communist movement here in America. There's lots of, and obviously Nike's doing that. There's lots of companies that are doing that. And we have to stop supporting those people. And as a matter of fact, if there is a void for a conservative business, hint, 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 you may want to actually create a good competitive offering, you know, whatever that is. And so, let me move on. We need to have your county chair send letters to every public servant that just got elected and let them know that you expect them to uphold their oath of office. You expect them to actually fulfill their responsibility in supporting the Constitution. And, oh, by the way, if you violate your oath of office, we will come after you and we will call for your removal in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. This is how the party needs to take this position. The only way we're going to start educating people is literally taking over the party and educating them first and getting them on board as the advocates in ensuring that public servants are being held accountable. Just to make sure you understand the relationship here, the employee is the politician. The employer is the party. Now, most people scratch their head and go, how is that so? I am telling you, if you go throughout the United States, in most counties and in most situations, the party, that party representative next to your name, R or D, that's it. That's all you need to have, because once you've made it through the primary, it's done. You have won the election. You just have to beat out whoever's coming up against you. And every politician understands that. They know where the real challenge comes from. Only in the big national level, such as the presidency, because we use a popular vote instead of electors, but only the presidency is one that, you know, is... It's out there where you have a lot of different challengers and so forth. But bottom line, if all of a sudden your public servant realizes that the party is actually building and developing replacements and they are coming after you, so either one, they start to behave, or two, they will start to come after you. And so you better keep your books clean. You better be on the high road in everything you do at the party level. No time for shenanigans, because it will get exposed. They will get plants. They will get people to help, because, oh, you know, these constitutional conservatives, they're racists, and they're going to come after you, and somehow they're going to try to label lynch you. The last thing you want to do is give them all the ammo necessary to actually take away your credibility and your argument against them. So moving on, you need to get, you know, as I've been saying, you need to get involved in both your community and in the party at the local level. There is a term at the party level, keep it small, keep it all. But what you want to do is you need to identify in the county, what are all the different conservative organizations out there? Now, I will tell you, do not forget that there's the Libertarian Party. Now, some of them may be conservative. Most of the libertarians that left the Republican Party left over conservative values, not over big government. They felt that the Republican Party was going in the wrong direction. There's been a huge resurgence in the Libertarian Party because of Ron Paul and Rand Paul. I'm here to tell you that you can reach out to those folks and make common sense. I mean, you can get, you know, through to them and go, okay, this is what we need to be doing. And so at the party level, then you got the Constitution Party as well. So there's the three parties. Get involved with all three. At least know who's who in all of them and get all of them to take the position of holding people accountable to their constitutional oath. Go educate all three parties and then create competition amongst them. And bottom line, you should be going, if there's a chair to the Constitution Party in your county, you go to them and say, why is it that you're not out leading and complaining about every public servant? And, you know, helping them, because this is where I believe you can straddle the fence. You want to help them become the complainers and the people that are pointing out these violations and getting them to, because this is how the Republican Party will be forced into behaving better, especially if the other parties are calling them out because their politicians are doing these bad things. What is the party at the local level doing about this? This is how you force these committees to be formed. This is how you force the Republican Party to get back on alignment. Now, in 1971, the Libertarian Party split away, and in 1991, the Constitution Party split away from the Republican Party. I would love to see it where everybody could be welcome home again and that we all agree on the one fundamental that is more important than any other issue out there. That's the Constitution. We all should be united on the Constitution. And in so doing, because in talking to all of these different party apparatuses, leaderships, and so forth, I mean, they're all fighting relevance. They're all trying to grow their relevance. And I'm asking myself, how does that fit with saving the Constitution? See, this is why I keep on saying that when you create an organization, you all of a sudden you go through the doorway of relevance. You have to constantly fight to make your organization relevant. Look at unions. Look at the NAACP. Look at some of these organizations that were probably created on, you know, good principles. But all of a sudden, they started fighting their existence in relevance because the problems went away. Employees are no longer working on dirt floors. Well, what do you do? What's the union going to do if all of a sudden the accommodations at work are great? Well, then they have to fight and try to figure out something else, and they become more parasitical and more of a problem in everyday life. That's why unions are out of control. That's why most organizations that started on, you know, one path have literally changed paths because they're fighting more and more on their relevance than they are on anything else. So anyway, what we want to do is we want you to actually start infiltrating these parties and then start offering them education. If you don't know what to offer them, we have those videos on the Reclaiming the Republic channel on YouTube. They're short little, you know, little presentation videos. They're 5-10 minutes. And why is it that the party can't actually sit down and allow a 5-10 minute video be played to help everybody learn and everybody understand What is constitution? What is a constitution? What did the framers mean by a standing army? And put things into context for everybody in the party so that they understand these things. Okay, so we're at a hard break. So when we come back, it looks like I didn't get into need to know news, but we will be right back after this. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me get back to what is really important here. It's really important that we understand what we need to do. I want to give you a paradigm of why and how the party is able to control and do ineffective things and maintain the status quo. There is an old adage regarding the party, keep it small, keep it all. If you investigate your county, you'll probably find that less than 50% of your precincts are occupied. Now, if you live out in the country in a very rural area, that may be excused as, oh, well, it's just so hard to, for people to find the time. Everybody has that problem. Everybody's dying of the busies. I don't know anybody that has an abundance of time to do anything and everything they want. I mean, only kids have that kind of time. And so that's why, the parents learned the old phrase, what is it? Idle hands are the devil's playground, or, keeping busy is the road to happiness. Anyway, those are probably bad adages, but probably don't even exist. But the whole point is that if you look at your county, it's probably less than 50%. And the county or the party allows the party to be as small as necessary so that it can maintain its control with its like-minded people. And when I mean like-minded people that think in the terms of party good, constitution bad. In other words, we support the status quo here. That is wrong. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to politics in America, the Constitution is not politics. It is the standard of governance. And we should demand that everybody that is a public servant or even involved in the party understand the Constitution and understand what is compliance or what is compliant to the Constitution and how to get people into compliance. So We need to go big. We need to get educated and go big. We need people to understand the importance of being involved in the party. Whether you're a small business, whether you're a big business, or whether, you know, you're an employee, it doesn't matter. Everybody belongs involved in politics. The problem is that when we've allowed this paradigm, which is the communist paradigm, this is how they were able to operate in secret for so long, because, oh, well, we can't talk politics. That we got to be politically correct. And the term politically correct stifles and silences everybody but the leftists. The leftists have these code words. We're at a point of oppression. Conservatives and constitutionalists are at the point of oppression that we are almost going to have to start going to secrecy, like what the Christians had to do after Christ died and after the persecution of Rome against Christianity. Where if you understand the symbol of the fish, the symbol of the fish was like a secret message that one person would kind of line out in the sand or draw out in the air, and the other person would finish the fish, the other half of the fish, where you just kind of did a wavy line, like a tilde. And then the other person would do the backwards or reverse of that wavy line and complete the figure of a fish. That way you knew that the person you were talking to was a Christian. And today we're at that same point where, you know, if you're a constitutional conservative, you're being deemed and labeled and marked as a racist and a problem. What the heck is going on? The only way we can take this country back is by basically educating and going big. We need to get the counties, every precinct filled. So how do you do that? You need to go and approach the 3%ers. Go approach the militia. Go approach every conservative organization out there, even religions. Go out and you'll find that probably most of the good, solid Christian faiths, it doesn't matter, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopal, it doesn't matter what the faith is. Start putting little flyers on, you know, underneath the windshield. Hey, if you're not happy with the direction of politics and the decadence and the debauchery that is coming out of our, you know, our state legislature, Congress, and so forth, then give us a call and just go out and get a Magic Jack phone. And it'll cost you, what, $20 for a year. And then people can leave messages. And all of a sudden, you're getting your email messages and listening to people. And you know who the bad people are, because they're going to, what kind of evil doings are you trying to do to dragging us back into the Constitution? And then you can start, you know, isolating. But you don't have to really put yourself out into an exposure. But when you find people that are, you know, yeah, I'm really concerned about this. And again, you just use your Magic Jack that way to do that. But my point is that the only way we can grow the party and the county party is by getting every precinct filled. And what we want to do is we want to get it filled with people who love the Constitution. I will guarantee you that every Republican county chair and committee out there will tell you, oh, of course we love the Constitution. Well, you know, how many times do you teach the Constitution in your meetings? Do you only teach it once a year? Do you just talk about it? You give, you know, lip service to it? Are we hypocrites, or are we actually helping people understand? Because I'm telling you, the party, if they're not teaching it, that's why people just understand, oh, well, we got to live by the platform. No, the platform should be based on the Constitution, not on these platitudes of, you know, supporting life and free markets. That has nothing to do with government. Government's responsibility is really twofold: to protect life and property. And by doing so with the enumerated powers that they've been given, at least the general government's very limited. That's why their biggest focus is national security and foreign trade. That's it. Anyway, what we want to do is we want to get people very active in the party. And these are the types of organizations, the militia. As a matter of fact, we have done this in a couple of counties already. And we've been successful in getting the militia and getting people, because a lot of times the militia says, no, we're not about politics. You don't have to be. the party shouldn't be about politics. It should be about the Constitution. And so that's the best place to actually change the direction so that you don't have to worry about local problems coming. You know, you only have to worry about the black helicopters and the UN driving down the road. The other thing that you need to do is you need to reach out and get involved in these other parties, like I said. Start working with them. And as a matter of fact, find out who the Constitution Party chair is, if there's one in your county. If not, then you need to find out who's the chair of the state and try to get them to start actually getting out and leading and saying, you have an opportunity of growing your ranks. All you have to do is become the champion of the Constitution. Just because you have the Constitution Party next to your name doesn't mean you're the champion. And I hate to tell you this, but as I've walked into the Libertarian and Constitutional Party meetings, I have found that they're really not the champions that they thought they were. And even they were surprised to go, wow, we never thought about it that way. If you're not actually constantly pointing out all of the violations and things that are absolutely wrong, unconstitutional, that the federal government, state government, everybody's doing, then you're really not being the champions. You're just being the silent person with a nice label next to your name, as far as I'm concerned. One of the problems you're going to run into is party affiliation. You need to fight exclusive affiliations. I believe the Republican Party requires that you cannot be affiliated or be a member of any other party. Well, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that you can't be a Constitutional Party person as well as a Republican Party person. I think that they both, and as a matter of fact, your priority should be the Constitution Party. And this is how, it's kind of like being a Boy Scout and being in the Order of Arrow, because the Order of Arrow is a deeper affiliation, kind of like the Constitution Party, where you're doing things that are, at a bigger macro as far as the organization, and it is kind of like the elitist. And I believe you should be able to look at the Constitution Party as the elitist setting the standards and actually helping. I believe this is how we can, because it's a win-win if we all of a sudden get, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican or Libertarian, or Constitution Party. It doesn't matter as long as they're abiding by the Constitution and they're doing everything that they possibly can, not committing acts of omission and commission in violating or not supporting the Constitution. This is how important this is. And that's why on Election Eve, we want to kind of cover what's really important, because tomorrow, everybody's going to be caught up in the news cycle. Where are the counts? And the votes have been tabulated, and somebody took this state, somebody took this area. And what they're doing is they're basically going to stretch this out. And as I've told you last week in the Need to Know News, they are going to, as far as the communists, they're going to be drumming the drums for their Bolshevik revolution. They're not going to be silent. They're going to move forward in trying to demand and trying to actually get out and protest and demand that every vote count. All illegitimate votes must be counted. And they won't be demanding for the audit. You need to get online with the whitehouse.gov by tomorrow and make sure you send a message. Please, President Trump, audit this election so we can root out all of the shenanigans that the Democrats have been doing for the past decades. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.